each other's burdens. You know, it's just the coolest thing when the Lord, I love when we come into prayer because the Lord will put something on my heart to pray and another sister or brother will start praying what's in my heart. I'm like, how do they know what's in my heart? But that's because God told them. So you know he's in our midst. So for this whole year, you know, it's been a crazy year and I've struggled a lot and I've had to learn a lot of lessons that bring me to this psalm. And I hope I'm not the only one who had to learn this lesson, but if so, then I'll share you what I've been through. But Psalm 1, the reason I love this psalm so much is in verse 3 it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." When I heard this psalm, it was early in my walk. I came to know the Lord in 2002 through a really, really hard time. My whole world got ripped out from underneath me. I lost my home. I lost everything. I didn't even have a spoon. And those of you who know me, I love ice cream. And for me not to have a spoon, that was a huge, huge deal. I didn't know. I was scattered all over the place. But I came to know the Lord. And in 2003, I went to my very first women's retreat at Grand Island, and Sandy McIntosh, an awesome lady in the Lord, shared Psalm 1. And when I heard about this tree planted deep in the roots and could not be moved, could not be swayed, I'm like, I need to be that tree because everything in my life had fallen apart and I was an emotional disaster area, right, my friend? I was a disaster, and I couldn't seem to get it together. So this psalm comes back to me on a regular basis. It's always been my heart's desire with the Lord. Lord, teach me how to keep my roots deep in you. And that's the only way we cannot be thrown side from side is if our roots are deep in the Lord. You know, I saw once, you know, those great big willow trees, they're mammoth. You know, you get so shady in them. But when a big windstorm comes through, those trees are toppled over. But the skinny, like, oak trees or maples, they're not half as big. They're not moved. You know why? Because the willow tree's roots go out. They go across the land. So they're not anchored in anything, but the maple and the oak trees, their roots go deep down to find the water. So when the storms hit, they cannot be moved. They may sway a little bit, but they can't be moved. And I love that picture. And that's how I want my life to be. Granted, when a trial hits me, yes, I start crying and I'm get upset, but you know what? The Lord helps pick me up, and I might be emotional through it, but I'm not swayed. I can cling on to the hem of his garment and know that whatever I need to walk through with him is going to bring glory and honor to him. So how do we get to this point where our roots are deeply grounded in the Lord? Well, Psalm 1 is so good that it tells us what to do. The first one says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the godly." I'm going to speak for myself. I won't speak for you. But we're blessed if we seek godly counsel and back it up with the word of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I want my own way, I start cherry picking. I start taking surveys. Okay, survey says... No, survey does not say. And if I take the survey... And what everybody, the popular demand in it aligns up with what Dawn wants to do in her flesh. Guess what? I end up flat on my face before the Lord knowing I've done something wrong. He tells us that he wants us to seek godly wisdom, godly counsel. We go and ask a brother and sister in Christ who knows the Lord, but we just don't take that for it. Does it line up with this? Does it align up? Did God confirm it? I'll tell you right now, Doug knows. Last Saturday, my husband found me on the stairs in a basket of tears. I'm like, I tried to go up and type a message up, and nothing was coming. I'm like, I don't even know. I can't teach next Saturday. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's like, honey, just follow what the God puts on your heart. So I went back up and started typing up some verses. And God is so good that on Sunday morning, Pastor Dan probably used 3 or 4 of those verses that I wrote down for today. I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, we're good. I think I'm on the right path. And Wednesday night, I wrote some more verses down, and sure enough, Pastor Dan said them again. And then Jackie this morning, did you look at my notes, Jackie? She said one of my verses too. So I'm like, okay, Lord, God always confirms everything in your life to you through his word. James 1, 5-6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let them ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. I do not want to be, we go back to that tree, I do not want to be tossed like the wind. So I'm not going to doubt. When God, I go to him and say, Lord, I need some help. You need to show me. I'm going to trust. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart is to all generations. All generations. It never dies. It's for us, for our children, for our grandchildren, their children. I mean, it continues on. Psalm 73:24 says, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. God guides us through our lives, through his counsel. And one of my favorite ones is in Proverbs 16. I love Proverbs 16, but 16:9 says, a man plans his ways in his heart, but the Lord directs his steps. I have a lot of plans in my heart, but when they fall apart and I go down a different path, I know it's the Lord. So ladies, blessed are you when you seek godly counsel and not the counsel of the world, and confirm it through God's word, nor stands in the path of sinners. Standing means we start getting comfortable in our sin. Doug and I go shopping sometimes, and he knows we'll be walking through a store, and all of a sudden, boom, I see a wall of flip-flops, or there's boots, or there's purses, and I stop. And he knows that I start thinking, okay, which ones can I get? And so he has to stand behind me and push. Isn't that with our sin too, ladies? We need to keep moving forward. We can't stand. We can't stop. Don't even entertain it. Keep moving forward. Do not stand in the path of sinners. Don't allow that sin to even come close or stick on you. God says in his word, don't tempt the Lord our God. We need to keep moving forward. I know if he knows, if he leaves me there long enough, guess what? I'm coming home with a new pair of flip-flops. But like, I need another pair? No. But, you know, if I stand in front of that wall admiring all the bling and stuff, gets me every time. So he always is behind me with his hand on. So if you see us in the store and you see Doug pushing me through it, you know I've just been tempted. And we're moving on. We're not going to stand with the sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This one got me real hard this year. When we sit down, we're comfortable. We've just embraced it all. And sitting down with scornful, I looked up what scornful means, and in plain English, it means to dwell in the seat of a judge, passing judgment in scorn or ridicule of others, holding them in derision. You know, a scornful person, you say, I don't know, you know, they talk about being at work, sitting at the coffee cooler. You know, you start tearing other people's down. We don't want to do that, or what somebody's going through. Well, why did they do that? They should have done this. No, we're not to sit down and do that because we don't know what God's doing. Early on in my walk, and if anybody has sitting with me for any time of frame, you've probably heard the story, but we're going to talk about it again. Early on in my walk, I took a stand for something God put on my heart. And a lot of people thought I was crazy because I stood there for 4 years. And people were kept coming at me, Don, it's time for you to move on. God wouldn't want you to sit there. I thought God was going to bring my first husband to the saving knowledge of his grace, and he was going to restore my marriage. So I stood on that for 4 years. And, you know, God did change my heart, but he changed it. But the very first thing he gave me as a new believer as I started reading the word was in 1 Kings chapter 13, and the man of God. The man of God, God gave him a mission, and he said, okay, I want you to go to Bethel, and I want you to tell the king and all the people there about me. And once you do that, don't go back the same way. Don't sit down and have anything to drink or anything to eat. I want you to leave a different way. I just want you to go deliver my message, and out we go. So he heard from God, right? So he goes in, he does what God tells him to do, and now he's getting ready to leave. But a prophet, someone older in the Lord, came to him because he wanted to know more. And he said, hey, look it, man of God. God told me that you're supposed to come to my house for dinner and break bread with me. And he's like, okay. So now he starts doubting what God told him. So he, because here's someone more experienced, more in the word of God. So he must have changed his mind and told somebody different. Nope. So he goes and has fellowship with this prophet and his family. And the prophet told them and convicted his heart. And he knew what was going to happen to the man of God. So when it was done, the man of God left, not the same way he came in, but he met a lion. And the lion there destroyed him and ate him. So I always used to tell people, I'm not going to be eaten by a lion for anybody, because God told me this, and he's the only one who's going to release me, and he will do it through his word. This year, and I had to apologize, I got a little judgmental. And you know, Matthew 7:1-3 is one of my scariest verses. Judge not, that you not be judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? See, I forgot. Yeah, God tells me to walk a path. And a lot of people around me may not understand why I'm walking down this path. But I have to be the same way with other people. Why are they doing that? Don't they know this? It doesn't matter the situation. But I got into that habit, and the Lord had to convict me. Don, you don't know what I told Kimmy to do. Maybe I asked her to walk down this path and I'm protecting her. You stay in your own lane. Worry about what God's doing in your life and just love people down the path that God's letting them go through. Even if you think it's a bad path, God uses everything in our lives to do something in us. You know, in that song, I love that song, Lord, look what you've done in me. But first he had to break down the roots. You know, it's really hard to watch someone you love and care through go through a difficult trial. But sometimes that's the best thing. They need to go through that to draw them closer to the Lord, to strengthen them. Everybody knows 4 years ago with my niece Caroline, when God didn't answer my prayer and she died, I wanted to walk away, but I will never. Yes, Thursday on Thanksgiving was the anniversary of losing her, of God taking her home, and I could be thankful and rejoice because that little girl lives on in my heart, and my faith is stronger. It helped me to have deeper roots. God needed to break down some roots in my life through that trial. So you don't know what God is bringing somebody through. The best thing you can do is just love them and be there for them and just strengthen them. So careful not to seek ungodly counsel. Do not stand in front of the sin. Run or push your own self. You don't need, Doug will come along and push you, I'm sure, if he saw that. And please do not sit down with those of scornful. We should be edifying. God says in his word that we're to edify one another. not ever tear anybody down, because we don't know what God's doing in someone else's life. The next verse is what we should do, and I love this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Jackie started off this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. For those of you who don't know, I serve the Lord in Embracing Options, and I help lead a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free to help women who've chosen to have an abortion heal. And one of the things we've give to them, because they've beaten themselves up so much, is we give them a sheet called Who I Am in Christ. And I don't know about you, but as a woman, I tend to doubt who I am in Christ on a regular basis, that I don't measure up, I don't do this, you know, I'm not chosen, I am not promised rest, I am chosen and not rejected. But we give them 41, who I am in Christ, and it backs up with Scripture. So renew your mind daily with the Word of God. Make sure that you understand the Word of God, that nobody could come in and twist it. I mean, look at what happened to Eve in the garden. She knew, but all Satan did was twist one word in God's promise to her, and she started doubting. We can't doubt the promises. The only way we can stand and defeat the enemy and the lies that he wants to try to tell us is by renewing our minds daily with the Word of God. In Psalm 119, it's a big psalm, and I know that. It takes me sometimes a couple days because I like to meditate on it. But it says, in 119:11, keep your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. If we know the promises of God, then we can stand when the enemy comes and tempts us. And, you know, Jesus, when the enemy took him out to the desert for those 40 days to tempt him, he started twisting his Father's words. But what did Jesus do? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. So if we hide God's words in our hearts, and we renew them daily, we can stand. No one's going to get us altered or doubt what God promises in our lives. You know, we know it, and we're strongly, firmly planted on that. So our roots grow really, really deep. Dorothy, a couple of months ago, did a study on peace. And I love, like, in I don't know the verse, but it says, God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, who trust in him. You know, sometimes we want to sit there and like, Lord, this is so painful. I'm having a hard time doing it. But he wants us. We need to have action. We need to move forward. And whatever it is he promises, when the lies come or you're struggling, you have to, or that videotape. Who has a videotape in their mind of lies? I know. I do. It goes off on a regular basis and tells me how worthless I am. But when an enemy says, Dawn, you're worthless and you're not worth anything, I say, well, God says that I am fearfully, wonderfully made. He formed me just the way I am in my mother's womb. And every day of my life is written in his book before I'm even born. So the enemy can't lie with that lie anymore, because I just defeated it with the truth. So you ladies, write down those promises that God's given you. Whatever that lie is and you're repeating, make sure you defeat it with the Word of God. God says in his words, you always feel like I'm lonely and nobody likes me, or I'm not accepted. You're accepted in the brethren. God thinks of you all day long, as numbers the sand in the whole world. That's how many times God thinks about you. And guess what? His thoughts towards you are nothing but good, not bad. How many times? I think bad about myself a lot, hon. he has to remind me. But we need to remind ourselves. And when we start doing those things, then we can plant ourselves. on the word of God. In Proverbs, it says, a woman builds her house. She doesn't tear it down. We need to build ourselves, our houses, on the solid rock of Jesus. That's our vessels. That's us. It's not only our homes, which we live in, and we want that to be surrounded with God, but ourselves as well. In Matthew, there's a beautiful account that says, when we're obedient, this is what he's talking about, when we do the things God says for us to do, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And it was a great fall. I don't know about you. I'm foolish enough as it is on my own sometimes, but my thoughts, my actions, what people see in me need to be rooted on Jesus. My house is built on Jesus. We have one of our doormats entering into our house says, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We need to serve God. Lately, a verse that has been coming up to me is in Psalm 46:5. I've been feeling kind of weak lately and trying to encourage myself. I've been trying to be strong there for my brother and my sister-in-law, who the month of November is always very hard for them. So if Psalm 46:5 says, God is in her midst, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So if God is within her, she will not fall. I love that verse. God is within us, ladies. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he's within us. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us. This is his house. We will not fall. But we need to just do our part, and that's by renewing our minds daily with the Word of God. Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. Worship him in spirit and truth. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the springs of life. I love that verse. I love that verse. To keep our hearts. I used to think it meant to protect it from anybody trying to hurt me. I have to keep a guard over my heart. No. It does mean we should protect ourselves from that kind of things, but it also should protect ourselves from allowing anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and covetousness, those things that can defile us, we need to keep them out of our hearts. That's why we need to stay in our lane, and we need to edify the brethren and renew our mind daily with the Word of God. Then the Lord talks about, after that, in Psalm 1, it says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that God knows my way. He knows us, our righteousness. You know, in the times that we live in now, it seems so much like the wicked are prospering. And those who are righteous and believe in the Lord, the church, is not. But we do not need to be fearful. We can stand on the promises of God, because he says the wicked will not prosper. Right in this psalm, he says that they cannot stand in judgment. God doesn't, the way of the ungodly shall perish. And we need to pray for them so that they can come to know the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because God does not want any should perish, but all come to repentance. So we need to just stand on the word of God. Proverbs 14:4 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. We need to walk on that straight path. that path that the Lord laid before us. Proverbs 14:19 says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." You know, they're just floundering around there in the world. It's kind of actually sad. But the Lord will deal with them and not in a good way, and we don't want that to happen. Proverbs 12:2-3 says, "A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved." There we go, unmovable. When we're righteous, when we're staying close to the Lord, we can continue to walk down that path. This verse has been on my heart a couple of times, so I'm going to read it because I feel like the Lord wants me to. In Proverbs 3:25-26, and I remember when the Lord used this. It was at a time when I was going through with my ex-husband, and, you know, our house was just, I was trying to get our house to be sold on market, but he didn't pay the mortgage. And when I went with a realtor in the driveway, they had put padlocks on all of our on the house, and I was really upset. And so it must have been on the third of a month, because I read Proverbs 3. And I love 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your paths." And it's been a favorite verse of mine. But later in the proverb, it tells you to just continually learn and be wise of the things of the Lord, the word of God. And in verse 25-26, it says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." He promises no matter what, when we stumble or fall, he will make sure that our foot stays on that rock, that solid rock. We may slip a little. I don't know about you ladies, but every now and again, well, not every now and again, a lot, I slip in my walk with the Lord, but he's right there. Come on, Don. Let's get back on our path. Let's continue to move forward. And sometimes things come in our lives that are unexpected, but we don't need to be afraid of them, because God promises that he will take care of it. He will be our confidence. And I will end with this verse, Jude 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." It's all about him, ladies. Nothing is impossible for our God. He speaks existence into, he spoke the world into existence. He heals. And I have to share you, Monday night was our night to honor babies. And it's a very beautiful night. We asked the women to pray and talk to the Lord and ask them to reveal if they would have had a little boy or a little girl and to name them. And we have a memorial service. And it's just sweet and beautiful. So I always turn my phone off. And so my phone is off. And on Monday night, a dear sister in the Lord, all of a sudden my phone rings. It's before it starts. Cheryl and I were getting ready. And my phone rings and I answer it. And I heard my sister, and she needed to pray, and I needed to pray for her. And then I said goodbye to my sister, and I hung up my phone, and I'm like, I don't know how that call came through. I said, "Cheryl, look at my phone is off." She goes, "That was God." God knows, ladies. He knows what you need. He knows when you need to talk to somebody. That person's going to answer. He brings people into your life to help hold your hands up, to help you go through your path, to strengthen you, to guide you. He is good. Mark 7:37, I love that. God does all things well. Amen. And it also says in the Psalms, I wrote it down, but now I can't see it, so I can't give you the verse, but he says that he will perfect everything that concerns you. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. God knows, ladies, whatever it is you're going through, you're struggling with, God knows. And he promises that he's going to perfect it, to bring glory and honor to his name. He's going to do it in such a way that you, he loves to blow our socks off. He loves to show up in such a mighty, mighty way. And we love him for that. So let's all purpose in our hearts. And oh, I wanted to let you know, Doug has all these sheets back here if you want to take one home. There's a lot of verses and a lot of things that you can help defeat the enemy with. But let's purpose in our hearts today that we're going to be trees planted by the streams of the Word of God, that we will not be moved, that we will not wither when the trials come, the storms come. God's using it to bring glory and honor in his name. Sometimes it's not about us at all, the trial, so we can go comfort someone else with the comfort that he has given to us. So let's just glorify the Lord. And let's just come before the Lord now as a congregation, and let's pray. But let's pray for Jackie and her family and for sweet little Isla. And Lord, we do come before your throne. And Lord, we do pray, Father God, that you would just help each and every one of us, Lord God, to be those trees planted, Father God. I pray for Jackie and her family, Lord God, that they would just have your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that you would give them that promise that they may stand on, Lord God, to walk through this. We pray for Isla, Lord God, that she would feel your loving arms wrap around her, Lord. You're right there next to her side, Lord. I know that, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that she would feel your peace and your love go through this, that she would not be fearful, Lord God, because she has you right by her side. We lift up Kevin and Ashley and ask, Father God, that you would just give them the peace, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God, through this all, Lord God. We know, Lord, that through this that you're helping their roots to grow deeper into your word, Lord God, into you, Father God. Lord, we praise and thank you, Lord God, that you will do this mighty work in this little family, Lord God. May you continually be glorified and lifted up through it all. And Lord, help us to be steadfast in our prayer, Lord, because the prayers of a righteous man avail much, Lord God. Help us to storm the gates of heaven, Lord God, for this little girl. May you be the one who's glorified and lifted up, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may all of us walk out of here with a promise from you, Lord God, that we might not have known before, Lord God. And Lord, as we stand to worship you one last time, Father God, may you be the one who's glorified and lifted up. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And it is in Jesus' sweet, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.